Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
We're into the debate, Fred. So far, it's fun.
Yeah, so you're in an online debate with Aaron Raw.
That's right.
You debated him here on the air, on the radio, and now it's a written debate on the internet.
A website over in England called League of Reason, and we're just in round two, so it's not too late for people to start following it, but we're going to talk about some of the debate right now.
Yeah, I think this will be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? One of the things that I noticed when I went over to that thread, Bob, this Aaron Rod actually posted some comments in a side thread before the debate.
Yeah.
And
34 pages worth.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he said that Bob lied to his audience about having bested me. This is the audio debate you had. He lied to his audience, and that this debate will certainly prove that for anyone who didn't notice it already. Bob knows he cannot defend anything he said on the air. His performance there was a total failure. Fail, Bob.
Wow. Hey, Fred, to say that Bob cannot defend anything he said on the air, that's the kind of accusation in a written debate that I simply would never make. It's wasting people's time by repeating your assertion that you're right and the other guy's wrong.
I couldn't believe it. He's like, meanwhile, everything I said turned out to be correct, while every assertion Bob made was wrong.
Every single one. So it's,
he highlighted the word all. He said all of them. Everything you said was wrong, Bob.
Aaron Ra is emoting, and that doesn't help. If I made a mistake in our on-air radio interview, I want to acknowledge it. Not everything Aaron Ra said was wrong. It's immature for him to say, and we'll give examples today in our show, it's immature for him to say everything that I presented was wrong.
That's right.
We'll look at it.
Yeah. And he says that you know that you're wrong and that his debate will be a systematic refutation of everything you said.
And that goes to motives. It is easy to lie to yourself, but as best as I am aware, I don't know of any point that I made that was wrong that I'm defending. But we'll look at some of them today.
Yeah, and you know, one that stood out for me, I mean, there's a lot that stood out, but he gave a lot of examples of where he refuted you, but he really didn't refute you. He just said that he refuted you. It's kind of like Bob Enyart, the moon is not made of cheese, Aaron Ra. The moon is made of cheese. I just corrected you. I proved you wrong. You are hereby refuted. I mean, that's kind of what was in his first post. There's a lot of that.
Well, we'll look at examples with statistics where Aaron Ra says, Enyart doesn't know what he's talking about. Here's the true statistics. And he gets his numbers from the exact same study that I used. And it's the exact same numbers.
Yeah, that'll be real interesting.
That's bizarre. Also, we have a little bit of audio from Aaron Ra about soft tissue dinosaurs when he denies that there's any original biological material. And it touches very briefly on what did dinosaurs evolve from.
I remember that part of the audio debate. So in his written debate, he said that part three ended with Bob's assertion that I could neither present any precursors for dinosaurs or could not cite any scientists who agreed with whatever I might suggest. He said that he answered the challenge with a succession of fossil precursors endorsed by an international team of paleontologists. I heard that part of the debate, Bob.
We're going to hear
it
right now, Fred.
Okay, great, because I remember hearing he mentioned maybe one dinosaur.
He mentioned Archosaur, which is like an arch group of dinosaurs and crocodiles. It's like an overarching group of animals.
So it's not a precursor.
An archosaur. Well, it's like saying dinosaurs evolved from dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And that's not a good answer. When I ask him the question, you could tell it caught him off guard, and he's an expert in this topic. So I don't know why it would catch him off guard. And I think his answer was circular. Dinosaurs evolved from dinosaurs. They evolved from archosaurs, and archosaurs are extinct crocodiles and dinosaurs.
You know, in my slides on this topic, I cite the Encyclopedia Britannica, and I've got a picture of the dinosaur tree of life, so to speak. And they got all these groups of dinosaurs next to each other, and beneath them were all these branches, and everything's got a question mark, or it's that little dotted line where they have no idea.
Because actual fossils, and they've named the fossil, you have the scientific name of the dinosaur, and then What did they evolve from? There's all dotted lines and question marks.
Yeah, and Encyclopedia Britannica is no friend to creationists, right?
No, right. Okay, then I'd also like to talk a little bit about Kepler, because he likes to claim that scientists who prefer intelligent design over Darwinism, he likes to claim that they are Darwinist. So we'll put a bit of a fine point on that regarding Lord Kelvin, but that's a real interesting topic.
Okay. So I want to hear this audio clip, because I remember when I listened to the debate, he didn't have a very good answer on your challenge.
And what
dinosaurs.
He said, now remind me.
He said that he presented a succession of fossil precursors endorsed by an international team of paleontologists.
Okay.
That's what he said in the written part of the debate. He claims to have said that.
He said that's what he said in the audio debate. So let's hear it. It's very brief. There's not even time to present a succession of precursors. And then we go right into the soft tissue matter.
Birds definitely are verifiable fact, a subset of dinosaurs in the same way.
Dinosaurs?
We.
What did dinosaurs?
The same way that lions are a subset of cats and iguanas are a subset of lizards.
Dinosaurs? Where did dinosaurs come from? What did they evolve from? They just appear in the fossil record. You're a paleontologist.
No, they don't.
They just appear in the fossil record.
No, they don't.
What did dinosaurs evolve from? And tell me who in the world agrees with you. Where did they come from?
They're paleontologists. Actual paleontologists agree with me on where dinosaurs came from.
Where?
You have archosaurs like, oh, God.
And you know, the soft tissue that we find, right, the Tyrannosaurus rex that we've got, original biological material, then they found it in a mosasaur that's 70, 80 million years old. Then they
you
found
You don't have
it.
Biological material.
No, you do.
No, you don't.
Well,
I've read Schweitzer's paper. I suggest you review it.
Well, you need to read the last 5 years' worth of refereed scientific journals, including everywhere, in Nature, Science, PLOS-1, Public Library of Science. 10 universities just published a report in the U.S. and America, leading universities. I could list them for you, saying we have absolutely ruled out contamination. This is not biofilm. This is original.
Are you going to argue that you have blood cells?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm not even going to argue this for the moment. I have covered this later in my series.
It's out of date because there are now dozens of institutions who are looking for and finding.
For
they're finding biological tissue. They're finding dinosaur tissue.
So Aaron Ra is a soft tissue denier.
So I got to quote Aaron Ra. Bob can't save face on any point, and he knows it. Bob, do you know that you can't save face on any point?
No. I posted in round two, Fred, I posted not only many links to refereed scientific journals. We have original biological material from a T-Rex, from a Hadrosaur, Mosasaur, Archaeopteryx, but I posted the photos. And you could see the stuff, and it's just chilling because there it is, biological material from dinosaurs.
So in that clip alone, he was wrong on 2 points. So again, he said that he gave a succession of fossil precursors to the dinosaurs. It started off with that. I didn't realize that you're also going to include the part where he's in denial of this biological material that we're finding in dinosaur bones.
Yeah, you've heard of Holocaust deniers.
I have.
It turns out Aaron Ra and P.Z. Myers are soft tissue deniers.
Soft tissue deniers.
They're soft tissue deniers. And it's in their beloved refereed scientific journals, their peer-reviewed journals that are saying, look, we've got it. Here it is. It's biological tissue from a T-Rex. Now Harvard and other universities are sequencing proteins from dinosaurs.
That's right. And they're not calling it contamination or other biofilm.
It's not bacteria. It's not biofilm. It's dinosaur.
He's really out of date on this information. And is he going to correct his online presentation? Is he going to admit to this?
Well, he said, if you're wrong, you got to fix it. That's what he said emphatically.
Let's see if he fixes it, because
clearly
he's wrong on this. We've got the audio clip.
And he said, rather than giving a succession of precursors, and this is an interesting example of what happens in the human psyche and with our memory. Fred, I'm guilty of this. We typically remember that we did better than we thought we did in something that we think overall we did well.
Yeah.
If I go on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher and I think I did badly, I might remember that I did worse than I actually did. But when you think you did well, we typically remember that we did better than we really did.
Yeah.
So in his mind, he presented a succession of precursors when he said, dinosaurs evolved from dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Archosaurs.
And you know, Bob, his first post was full of a lot of examples like this where he just makes a claim, just so story. He doesn't back it up with evidence. Another example is when he said that you had no idea what you were talking about with regard to genetic similarity to sponges. He says our genomic orthologue with chimpanzees. So
right.
He doesn't provide any evidence to help his point.
Right.
He just says that you're wrong. That's all he does.
That I'm wrong. And so what I'll have to do. Now, it's easy, and this is typical when we debate, and we've had many, many debates in over 20 years on the air, but whether I'm debating theology or atheism or evolution or pro-aborts or whatever, they'll make an assertion, and then I'll come back and try to provide the documentation that shows the assertion was false. Now, that might take one or two full pages to do that. It's real easy for him to say that, but Fred, you remember the shows we did about kangaroos and about sponges and about roundworms. As scientists are sequencing the genomes of all these different species, they find out that humans have about 20,000 genes, and so does a worm, about 20,000 genes.
Yeah.
The kangaroo genome, according to the director of Australia's Kangaroo Genome Project, she said that we found huge chunks of the human genome sitting right there in the kangaroo genome. What's it doing there? And she said, we have about 20,000 genes in the kangaroo genome, and so many of them are in the exact same order that they're in the human genome. So what? Are we closer to worms or kangaroos or chimps?
Yeah.
Which?
And you know, Bob, like you've said before, we strive to be accurate here, and we could be wrong about something. When we look at how we seem to be more similar to sponges, and then when you look at the Y chromosome and how we relate to chimpanzees, and they're only like 70% the same.
Right.
If there's some way that we're misrepresenting that, we are interested in knowing, and we'll correct it if we are.
Right.
All he does is he said that he proved you wrong. And I listened to that audio debate, and he didn't do anything other than just say that you're wrong, Bob.
Right.
You can't then, in a written debate, follow that up with no evidence to defend your claim.
So let's contrast that, Aaron Ross style, which we see. You've been debating evolutionists and atheist for decades, so have I. That's a typical style. They don't all do it, but that's a typical style. Aaron Ra does it. Let's contrast that with his claim that Bob is untrustworthy regarding statistics. And then, Fred, I try to document why Aaron Ra is wrong and that we creationists are right. And this is an interesting case because I argued that, look, Aaron, you say that the majority of scientists believe in evolution. They prefer evolution over intelligent design. And I agree with that. The majority of scientists do. But let me offer contrary evidence. And I gave three examples of evidence where there are a lot of educated professionals, U.S. medical doctors, and scientists who prefer creation or intelligent design. My first example was that 34% of U.S. medical doctors prefer intelligent design over evolution, and Aaron Ra took a fit over that.
He said that Bob attempted to counter this by claiming that some unspecified number of medical doctors don't accept evolution. Even if Bob is right about that, which he isn't, he underlines that and highlights it, it wouldn't matter.
Which he isn't. So, and he linked to a study. And Fred, the weird thing is, this is the same study that I used
to
say 34% of physicians prefer intelligent design. And he linked to a study, and his study says this. It's the same study.
Yeah.
And it says 63% of doctors believe the theory of evolution over that of intelligent design. Like he's proving that I'm wrong even about this.
He's proving you're wrong?
How could it be?
Yeah.
It's the same numbers.
So wait a minute. So you're saying 34% accept intelligent design, and he's saying, no, 63% believe in evolution.
Over intelligent design.
Decent at math.
Yeah.
You know?
You're pretty good. You're an engineer.
I can subtract 63 from 100, Bob. That's not too hard. So that's going to be about 37, maybe exactly 37. Your number's 34, so I'm guessing that there's 3% that didn't answer the survey.
That didn't answer the question. Yeah. Fred, in America, there's an obligatory 3% of people who can never seem to answer a survey question. It's the same survey with the same exact numbers, and he puts an all bold cap with a link. Bob's even wrong on this one when we're referencing the same study with the same numbers. So that's a knee-jerk reactionary mode that he's emoting. He's not being careful.
It's
he's emoting.
Very sloppy, Bob.
Yeah. So am I wrong on that? He said I was wrong on everything, and he's right on everything.
Okay, so we've talked about three things so far, and so far you're 3 for 3.
It seems.
It seems.
But I'm open to correction. Then he makes another claim about the percentage of scientists who believe in evolution.
Okay, so this is the one where I think he claims that 99.86% of scientists believe in evolution.
Yeah.
99.86%.
That's a high percent.
That is really high. And
it's hard to believe, but that's what he says.
And that doesn't sound right.
No, he says that Enyart uses fallacious statistics and authorities.
And I can't wait to see how he used statistics here.
Yeah, whereas he says, case in point, I cite actual statistics showing that 99.86% of geologists and biologists accept evolution. That figure is startling. It's just, I mean, 99.86% of people don't believe anything. So here's what I wrote, and this is already in the debate in round two. Aaron, there was no such statistic to cite. You calculated that 99.86% figure using an invalid method, for it was not the result of any survey or poll, scientific or otherwise, but it came from a count of creationists. And then he did a little math, and he said, okay, if there are 480,000 U.S. scientists and somebody counted 700 creationists, then it turns out 99.86% of scientists believe in evolution. Fred, that's completely invalid methodology.
Yeah, so can you explain that? They got some number from somewhere, 700. We don't know where they got that number from, right?
Of
700 creation scientists.
Right.
And we've got 480,000 scientists in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do 700 divided by that, you're going to get
percentage.
His percentage.
Well, I'll give you an example. He likes Michael Shermer, who's the founder of the Skeptic Society. They're atheist, Darwinist, and they claim to have 55,000 members. That's not audited. But they claim 55,000. So I could say by one count, 55,000 Americans are atheist. And then you do the math, and it turns out that what percentage of Americans are atheist? 0.00001, 1/100 of 1% of Americans are atheist. That's what I'd come up with by one count. It's a completely invalid methodology.
Exactly. It's not a survey or a poll. It's totally bogus math. It's amazing.
So here's how you would do that. If you wanted to do it, you would survey 1,000 people and ask, are you an atheist? And then if you found out that 50 out of 1,000 said yes, you'd say, okay, 5% of this 1,000 said they're atheists. So if I have a good survey, then probably 5% of 300 million Americans are atheists.
Yeah.
What they do is they took someone's count, and we believe we know where the count came from.
Yeah. So it probably came from the Creation Research Society because they happen to have 700 scientists signed up.
Right.
So now, Bob, if every scientist knew about the Creation Research Society,
which they don't,
but let's assume they do, and that if they're creationists, they sign up for it, then yeah, that would have been a valid method. But guess what? There's no way that every creation scientist have signed up for the Creation Research Society. There's a lot of them that don't know about it, so it's a completely invalid method.
And there are a lot of famous scientists who said, you know what, I don't believe in Darwinism anymore. I reject Darwinism. I believe in intelligent design or creation, and they're not members of the Creation Research Society.
That's right. And so you'd have to have every person know about this site, the atheist site that you just mentioned, and they'd have to sign up for it. Then we could,
You
could use it.
Yeah.
It's a totally invalid method that they're doing.
Yeah. It'd be like saying, now Aaron Ra has millions of views on YouTube for his videos. And it would be like some group counting the number of people who recognize Aaron Ra. going around, or atheists. So they spend a month or a year looking for atheists, and they say, do you know Aaron Ra? Do you know Aaron Ra? Do you know Aaron Ra? And whatever number they get, 97 people knew Aaron Ra of the people they asked. And then they divide that number by the number of total atheists, and they say, look at that, only 0.0001 atheists know Aaron Ra. It's invalid.
It is. It's completely invalid. It's bad statistics.
Right.
And I hope, I don't know if Aaron Ra is going to listen to this. Maybe he will, maybe he won't.
It's
I
in appeal the debate to him anyway. To,
yeah,
even
it's
if
in the debate. That's true. It's in the written debate.
Yeah.
Is it linked from your home site? From
yes.
The, from our RealScienceFriday.com?
Yeah, RealScienceFriday links to the debate on League of Reason. So, Fred, I'm taking these issues. I'm not cherry picking. Where is something that I can take a jab at Aaron Ra about? I'm taking the issues that he introduces, the first issue in his 34-page book, the first issue in the debate, and then I'm going to take the very first issue he introduced in his video series, The Foundational Falsehoods of Creationism.
So you're kind of doing a chronological order of his points? You're
somewhat. Not, yeah. I'm taking the first, you know, and usually you use your main arguments first.
Yeah.
I'm taking the first items, and then I am also adding items that I want to talk about, like the soft tissue dinosaurs.
Yeah. He also questions your use of Lord Kelvin as a creationist.
Yes. That's right. And that's interesting because, Fred, I gave a list in the debate of scientists both before and after Darwin who reject naturalistic origins and prefer intelligent design or creation over some kind of a secular naturalistic explanation. On the radio and in print, I said, and I keep saying, and I list scientists before and after Darwin, before and after.
That are creationists.
Right. And he says, when he repeats it repeatedly, he says, Bob offers scientists before Darwin. As though he wants the audience to think, the atheists who are reading the debate, to think that I only offer scientists from before Darwin.
Yeah.
Well, I offer both.
Yeah, that's right.
After Darwin, there's the father of electromagnetism, Michael Faraday, and of genetics, Gregor Mendel, and of microbiology, Louis Pasteur, and of thermodynamics, James Joule and Lord Kelvin, and of modern surgery, Joseph Lister, and modern agriculture, George W. Carver, and we could list many others.
That's right.
So he takes a shot at some of those. And in the debate, Fred, I think I'm not going to respond until he indicates whether he was wrong to create a definition of a creationist that would mean that Isaac Newton was not a creationist, because that's what he did.
Yeah, he did that, right? He tried to define Isaac Newton as an evolutionist, essentially, or
a
naturalist.
Yeah, which is bizarre in the extreme. Newton believed the earth was created 4,000 years before Jesus, and that God specially made Adam and Eve. And he said the planets could not have evolved through any natural process of gravity. They could only be in orbit as they are by the will and the hand of God.
And you provided a lot of evidence that Sir Isaac Newton is a creationist.
Right.
And so,
including from Isaac Newton.
That's right. And then you appealed to him to correct himself on that. And I'm curious.
He did say, well, Isaac Newton was irrational enough to be considered a creationist. That's a backhanded acceptance of, okay, so he's irrational enough to be a creationist.
So arguably the greatest scientist ever was irrational.
Was irrational. But what he didn't do is acknowledge, and he will not do this, I predict, was acknowledge that he was wrong to deny that he was a creationist or to create a definition by which Newton is not a creationist. He was wrong in those things. You know, you could overlook this stuff, but he claims I'm wrong in everything. He's right in everything. And in so many fundamental things, he makes stuff up. Then we get to Lord Kelvin, and what I did, Fred, on Real Science Friday, we have a program on the fathers of science who advocated special creation, and we list a lot of them, including Copernicus and Bacon and Kepler and Galileo and Harvey and Boyle and Newton and John Dalton, and then all the ones after Darwin. But I identify Kelvin as a special case because he wrote hundreds of scientific papers. He was the president of the British Association for Scientific Advancement. And he presided over a meeting, their 41st meeting of their association, and he gave a speech. The proceedings of that meeting are 500 pages. They're hard to read because they were scanned, and the OCR didn't work real well. But there's a quote. Could you read the Kelvin quote from – this is the very last sentence of his speech to this society.
Sure, and I actually use part of this quote in my signature file and when I make posts on the internet. Lord Kelvin said, "But overpoweringly strong proofs of intelligent and benevolent design lie all around us, and if ever perplexities, whether metaphysical or scientific, turn us away from them for a time, they come back upon us with irresistible force, showing to us through nature the influence of a free will and teaching us that all living things depend on one ever-acting creator and ruler."
Wow.
And so I think Aaron Ross says that Lord Kelvin is on their side, right?
Right, he does. And Kelvin is not Jesus. Jesus presented a consistent message. Kelvin is a human being, capable of confusion, uncertainty, contradiction. And when you read Kelvin's speech, he was unsure on the age of the earth. He proposed in that speech that perhaps the life created by God may have come to earth via meteorites from other planets. Now, that's weird, but that was becoming popular. And he thought maybe that could be the case. But then he said, absolutely, though, life can only come from life.
Yeah. So there's some political correctness. It sounds like it bleeds into some of his speech because of what he's dealing with.
Yeah, I think so. And he said, look, it's as certain as the law of gravity that life only comes from life.
Yeah.
He also added, he said, if life came from another planet, then still it would have had to come from the giver of life, from God. And then he specifically disavowed Darwinism as a mechanism. He said, Darwin, he wrote a wonderful book, but I disagree with his mechanism for evolution. And he said, if evolution has happened, which he was open to the possibility, if it did, it would have been guided by intelligent design. And even if that were true, he observed, that does not mean that mankind evolved from animals.
That's right. And so Aaron Raw is an atheist, and I loved another thing Lord Kelvin said. He said, the atheistic idea is so nonsensical that I cannot even put it into words.
Wow.
And he wants him on his side. I don't think that fits.
Right. So it's wrong to say that Lord Kelvin is a young earth creationist. He wasn't. But he, for his whole career, refused to admit that the earth would be hundreds of millions of years old, as the Darwinist wanted. He said life had to come from the Creator God.
Well, I look forward to the rest of this debate online.
Me too. Thanks, Fred Williams. God bless you.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYARD or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
This is Bob Enyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.